So, what I want to do this morning is I want to set a scene for you guys, a scene that I think all of us can relate to, one that has happened to me very often, more often than I would like to admit. So just go with me there. You're at school. It's actually before the day even starts. Your alarm rings, and you snooze it, and it rings again, and you snooze it again. And then by the time you wake up, you are rushing to get ready for school. So you already know that you're going to be late. You really wanted to dress cute that day. You really wanted to put together this cute outfit for this guy or for this girl. And you're like, I'm going to be so cute today. But it doesn't happen because you slept through your alarm. So you're already frustrated because you have to pick up the clothes that you laid on the floor the night before that are probably dirty and rush out the door. So your day's already starting off in a frustrating way. Then you get to school and you get to your first class and you forgot your assignment. It's laying on your desk at home. It's laying on your bed at home, but you just forgot it and you get a zero. Then you go to the next class and you totally forgot about the test and you didn't study. So you did terrible, basically. You feel like you did terrible on this test. Your friends are not the best that day. They're just kind of annoying. They're not really nice. Just kind of rub you the wrong way. Plus, you're already irritated, so everything rubs you the wrong way when you're irritated. Then you go to practice, whatever practice that may be, and it's terrible. Coach is out to get you. He's yelling at you. You can't do anything right. And you're like, I just want this day to be over. I am so over today. I want to go home. I want to lay in bed. I want to forget about everything that's happened today because I'm over it. And so you finally can go home. You get your backpack on. You rush out of the school parking lot. You're speeding home, praying that there's not a cop down there because you're just trying to get to your bed. You finally get home. You run in. You toss your backpack off. You jump in bed. And you're just like, yes, this spot right here, it's where I want to be. All the rest of the night, just laying in my bed watching YouTube, TikTok, whatever it is you guys watch. Netflix, Disney Plus. And then you're finally at the spot where you're like, yes, I can finally put this terrible day behind me. Nothing else can make this day worse. But then your mom barges in your room and you look at your mom and she looks at you. Then you look back at your mom and she looks at your room. And you're like, dang it. My room is a disaster. And your mom looks at you and she's like, what is this? What is happening? And you're just like, oh, of course. One more thing to add to this day that is already so annoying. And your mom is like, I'm going to the grocery store. This better be clean by the time I get back. This has happened to me often. I'm not the neatest, cleanest person. So I feel this. But your mom leaves. And you're like, okay, I'm going to get it done. I'm going to clean my room, whatever. And then you get on TikTok and you spend 45 minutes trying to learn Renegade. And you're like, Renegade. You know, I don't really know how to do the dance. But I imagine that's some way that it goes. And then you don't get TikTok famous in 45 minutes, which really stinks. Really puts a damper on your already bad day. And then you get a notification from Life360 on your phone that your mom is home. And then the anxiety creeps in, the worry, the stress, because you have not cleaned your room because you spent 45 minutes trying to learn Renegade and get TikTok famous. And so you hear the garage door open and you're just like scrambling as fast as you can, throwing things under your bed in your closet, but it's too late. Your mom is here and you're about to have to face her and look her in the eye and say, yeah, mom, I just didn't listen to you. Yeah, mom, I know you love me. I know you know it's best for me, but I decided not to listen to you because I thought what I wanted to do was better than what you wanted me to do. And it sinks in that you're going to have to look your mom in the face and tell her that you just deliberately disobeyed her. And we're going to look at this parable in Luke and kind of talk about what it looks like for these people that relate to this story. And we're going to start in Luke 19, verse 11. And says, and as they heard these things, he proceeded to tell a parable, because he was near to Jerusalem, and because they supposed that the kingdom of God was to appear immediately. And he said, therefore, a nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom, and then return. Calling 10 of his servants, he gave them 10 minas and said to them, engage in business until I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a delegation after him saying, we do not want this man to reign over us. When he returned, having received the kingdom, he ordered these servants to whom he had given the money to be called to him that he might know what they had gained by doing business. The first came before him saying, Lord, your mina has made 10 minas more. And he said to him, well done, good servant. Because you have been faithful in very little, you shall have authority over 10 cities. And the second came to him saying, Lord, your mina has made 5 more minas. And he said to him, and you are to be over 5 cities. Then another came saying, Lord, here's your mina, which I kept laid away in a handkerchief, for I was afraid of you because you are a severe man. You take what you did not posit and you reap what you did not sow. And he said to him, I will condemn you with your own words, you wicked servant. You knew that I was a severe man, taking what I did not deposit and reaping what I did not sow. Why then did you not put my money in the bank? And at my coming, I might have collected it with interest. And he said to those who stood by, take the mina from him and give it to the one who has 10 minas. And they said, Lord, he already has 10 minas. And the king said, I tell you that to everyone who has, more will be given. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. But as for these enemies of mine who did not want me to reign over them, bring them here and slaughter them before me. There's a lot of stuff happening in this parable. Kings, servants, minas, whatever the heck those are. Basically, what's happening is there's this king who is going away, but he's given his servants 10 minas. And minas is like their currency of money. So one mina was like 3 months worth of wages, 3 months worth of money. So 10 minas to give each servant 10 is like 3 years worth of salary, worth of money, worth of living. That's weighty stuff. He's given them a lot. He's given them a lot of things. For us, it could look like the Lord has given you guys a lot of things that he wants you to do something with, that it's weighty. It has a purpose. It's not just like, oh, hey, here's a dollar for you. No, here's 3 years worth of work that I want to give you, that I want you to invest. And the servants, so there's three servants who are doing what the Lord has asked them to do, who are taking this weighty thing that the Lord has given them, that the king has given them, and they're investing it. And they're spending time doing the things that the king has asked them to do, and they're growing this already big thing that the Lord has given them. But then there's this third servant who wastes his time, who hides away with this precious thing that the Lord has given him, and he does nothing with it. And there's this at the end of this parable, talking about this judgment that is coming for believers. Yes, we surpass this first judgment of like, we are going to heaven if we call ourselves believers. But there's also this reality that we will still meet our Savior face to face. And he's going to ask us, how did you spend your time on earth? And we're going to have to tell him what that looked like for us, how we stewarded the minas that he has given us, this weighty thing that he has given us. That weighty thing could look like friendships with people who don't know Jesus. How are you stewarding your friendships with non-believers well so that you can bring them to the feet of Jesus? How are you stewarding your time on this team? Are you uplifting and encouraging and calling out to others? Are you looking like everybody else? Because when you live life differently and you live life for Jesus, your life should look different. And so there's this reality for believers that we're going to meet our Savior face to face, and we're going to have to tell him how we spent our time. I also think we need to clarify what a parable is. Kyle talked about a parable last week. Jesus loved to speak to people in parables. And a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. So in this time period, they would totally understand servants and kings and minas and all of this stuff that Jesus is talking about, because that's the time period they were in. That's what was normal to them. But Jesus hits it with an eternal meaning, a meaning that is beyond this earth. And so what is this parable talking about? What is this parable saying? If we were to break it down into 3 points, what would it look like? So there's the reality of that the king is going to return, and he's going to return with this expectation of faithfulness, this expectation of faithfulness of how they stewarded this money that he has given them. The first thing the king did when he came back was he said, hey, call my servants to me. I want to see what business they have done while I've been away. And then there's this warning of judgment. This warning, this moment, just like you and your mom in the dirty room had to face her and tell her how you spent your time, these servants had to stand before their king and they had to tell him, this is how I spent my time. This is how I decided to either glorify you or glorify myself. So how can you and I look at this parable of minas, of kings, of servants, of the king just being able to kill whoever he wants to, and actually be able to take it in and apply it to our life and who we are and where we're at? And I think that we can look at this parable and see that there's a reality that Jesus is coming back for us. We are living in this time period where we are waiting on our heavenly king to return. We are waiting on Jesus to return because he's going to come back. He's going to rescue us. He's going to redeem us. But while he's gone, we have a responsibility to the gospel. We have a responsibility to the things that the Lord has given us. Guys, the Lord has given you himself. If you call yourself a believer, he has given you his whole entire being. He's given you the gospel. He's given you the good news to steward it well while you're on this earth. That is the purpose of why we're here, to be the hands and feet of Jesus. There is a responsibility that we have to the gospel. And there's going to be a day when we see Jesus and he's going to keep us accountable for the time that we spent here. And you're going to get to look your heavenly Father in the face and get to tell him what you did on earth. If I were telling this parable in a way that we could understand it, I would use this movie. Who has seen this movie? Yes, everyone, because it's the best, one of the best movies known to man, in my personal opinion. You may disagree with me, but I think it is one of the best movies ever because it has such cool parallels to the gospel. It was written by a Christian author. That was kind of the point of this movie, if y'all didn't know. But Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, Narnia, all the things, the people in it, Susan, Lucy, Edmund, Peter, these people are waiting. The minute they step foot into Narnia, if y'all notice, these people, I forget their names all the time. I promise I've seen it. The minute they step into Narnia, they are hearing about this guy, Aslan. They're hearing about this mighty warrior, Aslan. They're hearing about this king who is coming back for them. They are hearing about this guy who wants to redeem and save and restore them from the oppression and the struggles that they are going through under the evil queen. The minute they step foot onto this place, you can feel the energy of how they are anticipating the return of their king, of how they are preparing for the day that Aslan's going to come back, because they fully believe, they fully invest in, they're fully behind the idea that their Savior is going to come and restore them completely. They are living in excitement and anticipation and preparing for the day that their king returns. If y'all notice in this movie, I mean, you've got the beavers and the things and the goats and people. I don't know. There's a cross between a person and an animal every, I don't even know what they're called. But they're all doing things that are specific to them. They all have specific gifts that they are using to further Aslan's army, to further his followers, to further his message that he's trying to send, which is Aslan's coming back. He's going to kick the evil queen's butt and it's going to be incredible. And they are fully bought into it. And they are spreading that to other people. And so what does that look like for you and for me? There's this really awesome verse in 2 Corinthians, and it says, you yourselves are our letters of recommendation, written on our hearts to be known and read by all. Okay, what does that mean? Guys, Jesus has a message that he wants to send his people. And if you call yourself a believer, you are the message. If he has changed your heart and your life, it should be written all over you. He wants people to look at you and see him. He wants people to look at you and see the life change. He wants people to look at you and be able to tell that you're different because you know and you live for Jesus. We are his messengers. We are the letter that he is sending out. Because he changes lives, guys. He is the life changer, and he wants people to know that. And what better way to show that than through the lives of the people that he's changed? And if you call yourself a believer, that's you. You are the message that Christ is wanting to send out to other people, to be known and read by all. Does your life look different? Would people be able to look at you and say, she's different. She loves people differently. He reaches out to people I would never want to reach out to. He goes above and beyond for that person that I don't really like, kind of annoying. I don't know why he picks him up and takes him to some house every Wednesday night. Are you living differently? Are you living in a way that is glorifying Jesus? Are you stewarding this message, who he is, this gospel that he's given you well? Because guys, Jesus expects us to entrust to others what he has entrusted to us. Guys, Jesus has entrusted to you himself, his whole being. He died for it. He rose for it. And that's what you have. And that is incredible. He's given you this thing called the gospel. He's entrusted to you the gospel, and he's begging you to go and take it to people, to go and take it to others, to live differently, to invest in who he is, to walk with him, because he is coming back for us. He wants you guys to walk and live by him. And there's a reason for that. There is a purpose for that. And I think we can look at these three servants to kind of grasp what that is. So you have the first servant in this parable who invested his time in the king. He was the one that was given 10 minas, and he said, hey, king, look, I made 10 more minas from this. He invested his time in Jesus. And did y'all notice what the king did? He gave him so much more than he could have ever thought. He said, okay, you invested your time in me. Here, let me let you reign over 10 cities. Guys, that was big for them back then. Property and owning those things was insane. And to be king over 10 cities, he wasn't expecting that to come from just doing what the king had asked him to do. Guys, the Lord desires to give you so much more than you could have ever thought if you just invest your time in who he is. The second service did the same thing. He did the same thing. He invested his time in Jesus. And because of that, the Lord gave him so much more. But if you notice, this third servant, he wasted his time. He hid away what the Lord had given him. And he was like, I don't want to seem too weird. I don't want to seem like I'm going out of my way. I don't want people to think I'm like trying too hard. And he missed out on all the things that the Lord had given him. He missed out on the things that the Lord desired to give him because he didn't steward his time well. I have this story from when I was little. I was talking to it about with my mom. And I used to love to watch TV before I got up. I loved watching TV before I got ready. And there was this time in my life where I was late to school every single day because I spent too much time watching TV. And my mom was fed up with it. She was like, Anna, this is done. This is over. We're not doing this anymore. But obviously, what did I do the next morning immediately when I got up out of bed? I turned on the TV, of course. I just turned it down really low so that my mom wouldn't hear it. But obviously, she did. And you know that like look that you get from your parents that literally strikes fear into your entire being? I got that look. So I was literally frozen in fear because I was like, oh Lord, what's she gonna do to me now? And she went to my TV, unplugged it, picked it up, and just walked out of the room and said, I'll be leaving in 2 minutes. You better be in the car. I said, got it. So obviously I was rushing to get ready. And when I got in the car, she was like, you're grounded. You're not going anywhere. I said, okay, that makes sense. That's fair. But the thing was, that weekend, my best friend's birthday party was that weekend. And I was super bummed because my best friend, who loves me well, who I love well, who is really important to me, I don't get to go and celebrate her on her special day because I decided that what I wanted to do was more important than what my mom wanted me to do, was better than what my mom wanted me to do. And so I missed out on getting to celebrate her because of what I was doing, because of my own disobedience. And my mom said that this stuck out to her because, and she wrote it down in her Bible, and this was years ago. And she was like, Anna, I wrote this down because it made so much sense to me. It convicted me because what was I missing out on daily that the Lord desired to give me because of my little disobediences? What was I missing out on daily that the Lord desired to give me because of my little disobediences? Because guys, verse 26, I tell you that to everyone who has, more will be given. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. The Lord desires to give you so much more if you just invest in who he is. He desires to give you more than you ever thought possible. And I don't want you guys to miss out on that because, guys, it's insane. It is insane what the Lord wants to do for you if you just let him. Because Jesus expects us to entrust to others what he has entrusted to us. And this morning I want to spend time reflecting and in prayer, talking to the Father. Because there's going to be a day when we meet Jesus face to face, where we see our Savior face to face, and we're going to be able to tell him, Lord, I spent my time glorifying who you are. Or you're going to have to look your Savior in the face and say, Lord, I spent time glorifying myself. I spent my time glorifying my sin. I spent my time glorifying everything else in my life but you. Because guys, when you live differently, other people see it. And you get to be the hands and feet of Jesus. And you get to bring people the good news that changes their life forever, that changes their eternity forever. And so this morning, I want you to spend time in prayer about this as the band plays behind you. Of what do you want to tell Jesus you lived your life for? What do you want to be able to say to your Father when you meet him face to face? Because you're going to. He's going to come back, and you're going to get to sit with him and look at him and spend actual physical time with him face to face. And you're going to get to tell him how you spent your life for him. So what are you going to tell him? And then I also want you guys to pray. I want you to pray for one specific person who needs to know Jesus, who maybe needs a little extra love, who you know is struggling. I will be praying for someone who I've known for years who just doesn't know Jesus. And I so desperately want her to know the Father. And so I will be spending my time in prayer praying for her specifically by name because I want her to meet Jesus because it is life-changing. So spend time with your Father this morning in prayer, talking to him about what you want to do for him and praying to bring people to the feet of Jesus because that's what he calls us to do. So I'm going to pray and I just want you guys to spend intentional time. Dear Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for what you've given us, Lord. You've given us yourself, and that is crazy. Thank you for who you are and the way that you love us, the way that you desire to give us so much more than we could have ever thought. Lord, I pray for all the people that they're thinking of that need to know you. I pray that these students would be able to bring people to the feet of you, that people would be able to see Jesus because of their heart for you. I pray for their time that they spend in your word, seeking you out. Jesus, thank you for entrusting us with yourself.